Okay, well, we are still in Romans chapter 1. We are considering verses 8 through 15, and thus far in that section of seven verses, we've gone through 2.5. And just to refresh us, the section that we are considering reads like this. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I mention you, always in my prayers, asking that somehow by God's will I may now at last succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. That is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I have often intended to come to you, but thus far have been prevented, in order that I may reap some harvest among you as well as among the rest of the Gentiles. I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish, so I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. Last week, we spent all of our time talking about the first part of verse 10, always in my prayers, asking, or making mention of, depending on your translation. And we discussed Paul's prayer life, how he is trying his best to go by, follow along with 1 Thessalonians, where it says, pray without ceasing. We also had a discussion on the relationship between prayer and God. And before I go forward, is there any lingering questions or comments? Okay. Then we will go on to the second part of verse 10, which says that somehow, by God's will, I may now at last succeed in coming to you. What we see here is that Paul has a submissive and a willing spirit. Paul has been wanting to come to Rome, as he mentioned, for a while. He doesn't clarify how long, but I imagine for as long as he's been doing missionary work. The ancient saying is that all roads lead to Rome, when you're in the Roman Empire, that is. And so, of course, it's natural that Paul would want to go to Rome, the very capital of, well, the world, basically, at this time. But thus far, he's been prevented. And this shows that Paul is submitting to what God is telling him to do. God has not allowed him thus far to come to Rome. Paul's been eager and possibly ready, but he's not been allowed to come yet. Illustration of this would be, imagine a train. Passengers are on board, cargo's loaded, everything's ready. Conductor's got his little signal like, hey, we're ready to go. Whistle's blowing, but the train doesn't move. Because way out there on the track, there's a signal light, and it's still red, saying, nope, you can't go yet. So the train has to wait for that signal to turn green before it can go. Just like Paul here, he's waiting for God to say, go. And Paul will get his chance, as we read in Acts, to go. Although probably not under the most favorable of circumstances. He winds up going in chains.
And he had a little detour along the way.
Yeah, that shipwreck.
Snake bite,
and a tribe on Crete, wasn't it? I believe is the island.
And Malta.
Malta. Yeah.
Both, actually.
Oh, was it both?
Wasn't there two shipwrecks that he was a part of?
I don't think they were both on that voyage. I don't think.
No, maybe not on that one.
I know he was shipwrecked several times, but that's the rest of what verse 10 will show us. That Paul is both willing and submissive to God's will. And in like manner, that's what we are to be. Verse 11. For I long to see you, that I may impart some spiritual gift to strengthen you. Okay. I don't have any cash in my wallet, but if I had any, I would offer to anyone who can tell me what the spiritual gift is.
Which one?
Exactly.
He said some.
Mm-hmm.
But which one? That's the fruits of the Spirit. Are there not spiritual gifts here?
Someone
speaking in tongues, evangelism, or prophecy.
Well, the last part of that says, in King James, it says, to the end you may be established, so that
prophecy. So, how much money do you have? All healing, the prophecy, tongues, teaching.
Teaching, or is that wisdom? Both.
Teaching.
Yeah.
That's not the same as wisdom.
What I gather from it, and this is just my two cents, and all I can provide is an opinion, is that Paul is not really being specific here on purpose. He's just, whatever I can provide for you spiritually, I want to provide it. Whether it be a general call, effectual call, healing, did Paul ever prophesy? Not that we know of.
I don't think so. I don't think that's his skill
set. Whatever gift he can impart to them, that's what he wants to do. And as Dad pointed in the King James, for the purpose that they would be established. And it can also be a gift of love, gift of just refreshing each other's spirits.
And the Holy Spirit was working through him.
Mm-hmm.
And the Holy Spirit was deciding, I think, who got what. And he put hands on them.
Indeed.
That the Spirit would flow through him into them, and it would be whatever the Spirit needed it to be.
Exactly.
And it might be one thing for one person and something else for another person.
Oh, I'm sure. Because there's no telling how big that church was in Rome at this time. And verse 12 flows right along with 11. That is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. And this is another thing about Paul that we can admire. Paul is not so full of himself that he thinks that he can't still be benefited by another person, even though he's an apostle, which, I guess, humanly speaking, is about the highest rank a human can get, spiritually speaking. But he's still not above the fact that he can still benefit from what the Church of Rome has to offer.
That's just like us. It don't matter if you're sitting in the wrong back row or front mm-hmm. row or somewhere in the middle. Somebody comes to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You all, I mean, everybody rejoices. It don't make no difference.
Exactly, yeah. A story that about Jesus actually in the same situation where he was encouraged. Well, it doesn't say verbatim that he was encouraged, but where Jesus marveled at the faith of another person was the Roman centurion found in Luke chapter 7. I was in boot camp toward the end of my stay on Paris Island, and the battalion commander, real high up, starts walking around, and he saw me sitting on my little footlocker with the Marine Bible that you all gave me before I went to boot camp, and he asked if he could borrow it, and he turned it to this passage. When he had completed all his discourse in the hearing of the people, he went to Capernaum. And a centurion's slave, who was highly regarded by him, was sick and about to die. When he heard about Jesus, he sent some Jewish elders asking him to come and save the life of his slave. When they came to Jesus, they earnestly implored him, saying, "He is worthy for you to grant this to him, for he loves our nation, and it was he who built us our synagogue." Now Jesus started on his way with them, and when he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends, saying to him, "Lord, do not trouble yourself further, for I am not worthy for you to come under my roof. For this reason I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. But just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man placed under authority with soldiers under me. And I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes. And to my slave, 'Do this,' and he does it." Now when Jesus heard this, he marveled at him, and turned and said to the crowd that was following him, "I say to you, not even in Israel have I found such great faith." When those who had been sent returned to the house, they found the slave in good health. There is strength in numbers. As Jesus was marveling at the faith of the centurion, Paul knows that when he gets to this church in Rome, he's going to find Christians. And at that time, he can refresh himself and surround himself with Christian brothers and sisters that will help him to so that he can go on with the ministry. We read, I forget which letter, but he wants to go all the way to Spain. He never gets there, as far as we know. But one of the things that would be beneficial to him is to stop in Rome on the way and be refreshed by these Christians. We read several times where Jesus would leave the crowds, go up on the mountain, and pray so that he could be refreshed. And then his disciples would come to him and he would teach them. All the time there's a saying, I believe, that, well, the actual saying I remember is, "You are what you eat." But I'm going to change that to, "You are who you're around." The friends you surround yourself with will encourage you or discourage you. And with Paul, he's hoping to come to this church in Rome so that he can give them some spiritual gift to help establish them, and likewise so that he can receive spiritual refreshment from them as well, especially with the missionary journeys he's going on.
Do you think he's actually talking about the spiritual gifts that are mentioned in Scripture here, or do you think he's just talking about a blessing of fellowship?
Yes.
I mean, because the more you read into the passage, the more it seems like that fellowship is more the gift he's looking for here, because, you know, I mean, Hebrews 10:25, I know that's not, may not be Paul, but... you know, don't forsake the gathering together, brothers, is this the custom of
yourselves, good. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, that's my understanding. Are you asking the question?
I'm asking, is he speaking of all the gifts that are
he's
mentioned?
Going to receive, or he's going to give?
No, I'm saying where the translation, the reason I ask is because I have a translation here that says, "Every time I pray, I ask that somehow God will now at last make it possible for me to visit you. I long to see you, to share a spiritual blessing with you, so that you will be strengthened." And it's translated differently. I haven't had a chance to look, but I'm wondering, is the word that's used for the spiritual gifts there, is it the same as spiritual gifts when he talks about it later?
This is faith, both of you and me.
Right.
Well, Philip read 11, you just read 12.
Yeah, but I'm thinking, I feel like he's instead of talking about the gifts of the Spirit, like the teaching, the prophecy, the speaking in tongues and all that, I feel like he's just saying that he wants to be blessed by their fellowship, and in turn, them be blessed by his presence. A spiritual... you know, the brotherhood of the church. And so instead of it saying that it's the spiritual gifts, which, I mean, you know, that's why I'm asking, because it could completely change the entire meaning of some of this. if you're thinking it's the spiritual gifts, that he's going to go and bestow on them one of the spiritual gifts, or he's going to pray them down, or is he just talking about the blessing of spiritual fellowship?
I'd say it's both. Because, I mean, you can't... The way I'm thinking, yes, he wants to give some spiritual gift, which the way I think is a general is broad, so not just one.
But he can't technically give the gift anyway, right?
The Holy Spirit through him to the
right, right. But
as his role as an apostle, he wants to impart what he can to them.
But I'm just wondering if it's not more of a general sense of fellowship.
Well, I mean, that's their blessing back to him.
Right.
And I'm sure they'd be encouraged just by his presence.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just trying to think through it because the mix up in translation, and I mean, I don't know. The literal translation says spiritual gift, but I just don't know the Hebrew and the Greek well enough to...
I'd have to pull up. I don't have my Greek New Testament with me, but I can look that up later. But yeah, sitting here right now, I'd just say it's probably both. I mean, it makes sense if it's both.
Yeah, I mean, I just was curious because once you get into 12,
mm-hmm.
you know, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me, because that could change the entirety of what he's saying right there. If it's just a fellowship, then they're fellowshipping together, they're worshiping together, and they're growing in faith together. But if it's an actual spiritual gift, then you know you're starting to see somebody does a healing and everybody. But I mean, it's the same thing. So it's the same but different. Like, I just wonder if there's something more powerful behind the words, or if it's just simply, I really want to fellowship with you. Just a long way of wording that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
Had he been traveling by land? If you left Rome and you're coming back toward Jerusalem, where would the first church be that you'd run into?
By land?
Yeah.
Ephesus? Or Corinth?
No, I think it'd be Macedonia, because it's further north.
So, I mean, it's a pretty good little skip. So, yep. He would be looking at a long dry spell between the last known church until they got to that.
Mm-hmm.
And he wouldn't be with any believers at all.
Yeah. And even going by sea, I mean, he spent months on a ship.
Yeah, but I mean, he didn't foresee going that way, I believe.
If he was going by land, Thessalonica.
Hmm.
I mean, are all the cities, did they all have churches?
No.
Thessalonica is the first one that has a letter from Paul. Mm-hmm. And it's in Macedonia. And then if he were coming back to... Then he'd have a pretty good walk between there and Ephesus.
Mm-hmm. Ephesus was a big church.
Yeah.
It was a big...
Yeah, I'd have to say it's both. Because he specifies some spiritual gift, and then he says that we may be mutually encouraged.
Sure. And I think he would be looking for that.
Yeah.
He's planning that big a trip.
Mm-hmm.
That was going to be...
Yeah, it's going to be it'll be a big gap. And even with the unforeseen trip by sea, that's still a pretty large gap.
Yeah.
Well, there was a shorter way, but he left. I mean, the boot almost touches Macedonia if he really wanted to go that way. It was just like a hop, skip, and a jump over the water instead of him going from Crete all the way to Malta. And then coming up through Sicily and up the... I still don't see how he found his way to Rome that way.
I'm sure the sailors had traveled that enough. One would hope, anyway. Well, that has expired our time.
I wasn't trying to do that.
No, you're fine.
I just wanted to clarify that. Because
No, that's great. I enjoy the conversation. And that's actually a good stopping point for us, because my goal next week, don't hold me to this, please, I beg you, is to try and finish 13, 14, and 15, because that will set us up for the linchpin, I'll call it, the linchpin to the entire letter, verses 16 and 17, and that's going to take us a long time to get through those two verses. Not because of anything super difficult, but because there's just so much in those two verses that...
Because it's the theme of Romans.
It is the thesis of the whole letter. So, that's my goal. We'll see what happens with it. Questions, comments, or concerns before we dismiss? Suggestions? No, I'm afraid I will not go faster. Okay.
Now, dude, made fail play out here.
No.
Hey, we got three verses tonight, or two.
Two and a half.
Or something.
I enjoy going this slow. I know some people are probably going to get very annoyed with me rather quickly.
Y'all know I like words.
But.
No, I was being fed if I get annoyed with me.
But I like going slow because, yeah, there's just a lot to unpack. And frankly, I'm moving fast compared to what some people do. And. Not because they're better or I'm better. No, there's no right or wrong way to go about speed-wise, so long as you get everything you can. And there's just a lot to unpack, and I enjoy unpacking it. And some nights we have 40 minutes, some nights we have 20. But we'll keep pressing along. Hopefully next week we'll get through the last three verses of this section, and then we'll spend probably the rest of November on verses 16 and 17, but we'll see. Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations according to the command of the eternal God, to bring about the obedience of faith, to the only wise God be glory forevermore. Through Jesus Christ. Amen.